Psalm 150 is entirely about praise. Obviously, it's a very short psalm. It's entirely about praise. I think a lot about love. I think about how I could be a more loving person. I think a lot about reading the scripture and how I should read and meditate upon the scripture more. I think about, a lot about prayer and how I could stand to probably pray more and spend more time doing that. But praise was not something that just comes on my radar very often. So hopefully, in the course of putting this together, I will have come to understand praise a little bit more, and hopefully the rest of you will find it profitable as well. The psalm begins that we should praise God in his sanctuary. A sanctuary refers to a thing or a place that is holy. In the context of this verse, it is a place. And we can look at the scripture and see in many instances where God is in a holy place. When he is in a burning bush, the ground around it is a holy place. When he descends on a mountain as a cloud, the mountain itself becomes holy. When he inhabits a tabernacle in the wilderness in the midst of his people, that becomes a holy place. When a temple is built in his name in the city, that becomes a holy place. I think these sorts of holy places is where we expect praise to happen. For us, we were told, have been informed, that God no longer dwells in temples made with human hands. But that does not keep this place from being a sanctuary, not by virtue of its construction or some sort of holy ground. And I wasn't here when it was built, but I don't think anybody probably splashed holy water on the altar when it was built. This place is a sanctuary because of the people that gather here, and because we know when we gather, God gathers in our midst. So, a holy place where we're supposed to praise God, that's where we expect praise to happen. It's structured, it's intentional, it's shared. We get together, we sing. We all sing the same song at the same time, mostly at the same speed, especially when I'm singing, that could be a little bit of an issue, but it's something that we participate in. But this verse in Psalms expands outward. It says, praise him in his mighty expanse. God's expanse is sometimes translated firmament, and at any rate, in Genesis, it's the place where the stars dwell and where the birds fly. And I think in the context of this verse, it's referencing everything. It is the universe. Everything from the stars above down to the very air in which we breathe. That is the rest of everything else. God's creation. Praise isn't meant to be confined just to this building or to the few hours we spend here per week. It belongs everywhere. And we aren't ignorant of this. I'm sure if I pulled you and I pulled everyone aside and asked you, hey, is praise just what we do here? I don't think 1 in 100 would say, yes, this is where we praise. Everywhere else is done. Unfortunately, it is easy to fall into the habit of living that way, even if we don't actually believe that. Praise happens here, and then the rest of our life is something else. And the reason is we all have many responsibilities to our employers, to our families, to our friends, to our health. I'm 48, and the eye doctor wants to see me once a year, and the cardiologist wants to monitor the time bomb in my chest, and my doctor wants to see me twice a year, and all the blood work that goes with that. And every time we sit down, she asks me, have you spent at least 30 hours of doing exercise at least 4 days a week? This is a commitment. This is a responsibility we have to our health. But Psalm 150 doesn't allow us that separation. It reminds us that all of life is meant to be lived before God, and all of it can be an expression of praise. We will get more into the how of praise shortly, but the way we work, the way we speak, the way we respond to difficulty, these can all be forms of praise when they reflect trust and gratitude toward God. So the question for us becomes, what would it look like if our lives outside this building reflected the same posture of praise that we bring inside it. And having thought about that for a while, I can honestly say I do not know what that would look like in my life. It's something that I've just begun to start thinking about. Verse 2 says, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. We are given two reasons here to praise God. First, we praise him for what he has done, his mighty deeds. That includes creation, his faithfulness to his people, his provision, his guidance, and his deliverance. And ultimately, for us as Christians, it includes the work of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, which, along with creation itself, is the greatest act of God's power and love. All those things are common to mankind. We can all praise God for those things. Specifically, though, I'm sure many of us can also reflect on our lives and see the mighty deeds that he has worked for us, specifically to our benefit. I'm always a little skeptical when people say, oh, such and such, this is God's plan in my life. Because, for one, how would you know what God has planned for you exactly? And secondly, sometimes God's plans are scary. And when people are going through those scary things, that's not usually the time that they're like, yes, this is it. This is what God wants for me. Nevertheless, when you look back in your life, sometimes with hindsight, I think you can see God's plan. And in my life, certainly, from everything to where I work, who I married, the children I have, where I live now, I can see God's hand in all of that. And I think many of you would agree. So not only do we have these mighty acts that he's done, which even though they might be subtle, that doesn't make them any less mighty, for all mankind, but we can see it in our life as well. Second, we praise God for who he is, his excellent greatness, his character, his holiness, his mercy, his justice, and his love. This is important because it means praise is not just tied to our circumstances. There will be times, even though we might reflect on our life and see God's hand in it, there are going to be times when his mighty deeds do not seem so mighty, at least in our life. If we only praise God when things are going well, our praise will rise and fall with our situation. But Psalm 150 roots praise in something deeper, God's unchanging character. Even in difficult seasons, when life is confusing or painful, God is still worthy of praise because he is still who he always has been. Praise is not a reaction, but a response grounded in truth. It is remembering who God is, even when we can't feel it. C.S. Lewis had a frequently quoted and insightful reflections on praise in his book, Reflections on the Psalms. He struggled at first with the Psalms constantly commanding praise, Psalms like the ones we just read, Psalm 150. He thought it sounded like God was demanding flattery. But his meditations eventually led him to realize something deeper. Praise is ultimately natural, not forced. We don't have to be told to praise things that we love. We just do it. Think about how people talk about a favorite restaurant, a beautiful place that they love to go, or even a favorite sports team. Think about our loved ones. When you interact with your spouse or your children or a parent or any other loved one in your life, when they're offered praise, is that because that's what they're due? Is it because you owe it to them? It's a natural outpouring of the love that you have for them. That's where the praise comes from. It's not forced at all. Lost my place. For Lewis, praise is the natural end of delight in God. And that's just the way he looked at it. He also had an idea that praise completes joy. Praise isn't just an expression of joy, although it certainly is that. It's also its fulfillment. When you express praise to the object of your joy actually increases. And I think, again, too, I think of all the the love songs and all the poetry and all that's been made. Why was it made? Was it made so that it could be put in a drawer and nobody would ever read it? It was made in praise of the object so that the object would know that they're being praised and that the joy of the praiser would be made full and that they would have even more. God invites us to a fuller joy. When Psalms command praise, like Psalm 150, it's not about God needing it or he's petulant and petty. It's about us being drawn into the fullest experience of joy in him. Next comes the most vivid part of the psalm. It lists a whole range of instruments. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. The point here isn't that we need to use all these exact instruments in our praise to God. The Israelites certainly would use these things. And I think what he's getting at is that the praise should involve everything we have. Every instrument we have at our disposal should be put into our praise to God. The gospel calls us to love God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. This psalm calls you and I to praise God with our intellect, with our strength, with our creativity, with our persistence. To praise God with our cleverness, with our hospitality, with our kindness, and with our humor. Only you and God know what that truly means for you. Different people express this differently. Some are naturally more expressive, others are more reserved. Here in the Church of Christ, we tend to be a little bit more reserved. I think of Paul's request in 1 Timothy that he wants every men in every place to raise their hands, lift their hands up in prayer. And if someday I'm going to tell them, thank you very much for putting that in there for the Baptists and the Pentecostals. It's just not something that we tend to do. Although I will say, if the Spirit ever takes you, please lift your hands up in prayer. So Psalm 150 isn't about trying to force everyone into the same mold, but it does push against the idea that praise should be in any way half-hearted. It invites us to consider, are we offering God our full attention, our full engagement in our praise of him, or are we holding something back? Whatever way you have it in you to praise, please do it with all your heart. Finally, the psalm ends with this. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We sing a song, All Creatures of Our God and King. It's one of my favorites. It has its origins in the 1100s in Francis of Assisi. To him, all of creation praise God, not just the creatures that draw breath, but the sun and the moon and the stars, the winds, the flames, the water, it all praises its creator. This psalm, every creature that has breath praises the Lord, and that's about as wide as it gets. It's something that I've thought about for a while when we think of even animals and the things that they do. Do they bring praise to God? Do Canada geese bring praise to God? Do alligators bring praise to God? Do dung beetles bring praise to God? I think we're supposed to say yes to those things. Those animals do what they're created to do, and in doing so, they give praise to God. They demonstrate the wisdom of God in the roles that they play in his creation. So everything that has breath praises God. And as long as we draw breath, we are included in this invitation. It is said by Paul that one day even unbelievers will praise God. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, Jesus is Lord. There's something very profound about that. Breath itself is a gift from God. In Genesis, It says that God breathed breath into us, and so we became a living soul. From the very beginning, we're told that God gave breath to humanity, and every breath we take is something we've received from Him. So in a sense, praise is simply the right response to that gift. The breath we've been given becomes one of the means by which we return praise to the one who gave it. Finally, Psalm 150 doesn't end with a long explanation. It ends as it begins, simply, praise the Lord. It's the final word on the Psalms. I don't know who way back in the mists of time arranged the Psalms in the way they did, but I think they did well putting Psalm 150 as the last one. After all the prayers, after all the struggles, the questions, the joys, the triumphs, the despairs, where we land in the Psalms is on praise. It is my prayer for everyone here, regardless of your circumstances or whatever troubles you, that no matter what your abilities or talents are, that you are able at the end of the day to mimic the words of the psalmist and say, praise the Lord. Thank you for your time. I hope this was beneficial to you.